Hello, returning happies and new listeners. This is Steve Bennett Martin.
And this is Stephen Martin Bennett.
And welcome to A Lifetime of Happiness, the podcast where we take you on our journey through some of the movies, shows, and other bits of pop culture that are helping to keep us happy while hopefully bring a smile to your face along the way.
And today we've got a mix of everything as we discuss the quirky comedy Outlaws, the new season of the supernatural adventure series The Witcher, and Shudder's new film The Lesbian Shining. I mean, Bad Things.
Yes, but before we get into that, my love, besides surviving a hurricane that put us out of commission for a week or two, what's been going on that's been making you happy?
Well, last week was a super blue moon.
Super.
Indeed. And the next super blue moon won't be until 2037.
I'll be dead.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's only 14 years from now.
Oh, no, I'll be alive. I expect to be alive. I don't know how to
math
do math.
Math is hard,
math
right?
Math is hard. That's why I married a finance major.
Okay. And so full moons are always great. Blue moons are even better. Super blue moons are the best. And we had a really great crowd. A lot of returning people, some new people, and it was just a good evening.
Yeah, I love that your moon ceremonies that you hold each month now are virtual, so even listeners, in theory, could find Rising Phoenix
on Metaphysics on
Facebook and sign up. Cool.
I mean, you might even put it in the show notes.
If I remember, babe, you're tall orders now, recording the night before release. Yes, well, I also have to add that I recently have fallen head over heels in love with AI. Between Canva's AI writing that I can say, make this mean thing I want to say at work sound nice, to Spotify's DJ X, which somehow has been managing to find the perfect combination of 90s pop punk as well as modern day top hits and with a titch of musicals but not too many, has been really fun. Like the fact that it really seems to know me, and I mean obviously it does, it knows what I'm listening to, but it's cool having a DJ that makes the radio for me.
Exactly.
So yes, I'm ready for the robot revolution. I'm on the side of the AIs because they make my life better.
Yeah, I'm gonna still stick against AI at this point, just because people are trying to use it to get rid of actors and writers.
Oh, well, we need those people.
Yeah. People are trying to say that AI can write movie scripts, and I'm like, I doubt it.
Can do it better than some. It can do it better than the killer unicorn. Which is one we won't even be covering on this podcast, but it exists out in the universe and
don't go find it.
Yes. But yes, we'll start with The Outlaws, which is a 2023 American action comedy film directed by Tyler Spindle and produced by the Happy Madison team that stars Adam Devine, Nina Dobrev, Ellen Barkin, and Pierce Brosnan. The film follows Adam as his engagement to Parker and career as a bank manager collide as he suspects his future in-laws are the culprits behind the heist.
Yeah, this. So Adam Devine, sometimes I think he's funny and sometimes I think he's trying too hard.
Yes.
He walks that fine line in a lot of his performances, because if he's in a movie, you know what you're getting.
And he's always at 11.
He's always at 11, even in that show I've been watching, The Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, okay.
He's still very Adam Devine.
Yes. But the movie was great. I mean, I loved him. Nina Dobrev didn't have to do much in the movie, but she did well with what she did. Looking at the two of them together, I would never buy their chemistry, but they definitely had it on film. Like, I bought them as a couple, even though it was wacky.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw them together. Yeah,
the moment she started noticing the action figures that were representing the wedding people, and she was able to notice the different superheroes and stuff he was into, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, so she not only tolerates his nerdiness, like we see so many oftentimes the housewives or the girlfriends tolerating the nerdiness. Like, she loves it, and I love that for them.
Exactly. And we got to know Nina Dobrev from The Vampire Diaries, and at first as Elena I was always but then whenever she played Catherine, and there would be times where it was
both of them together,
Catherine pretending to be Elena or Elena pretending to be Catherine, and you could tell which of the four she was doing, like, I have a lot more respect for her acting ability, and it's nice to see her doing more things.
Yes, and while I did love the Outlaws, like, and they were more endearing than I thought they would be with Alan Barkin and Pierce Brosnan's performances, I almost feel like I enjoyed the other in-laws more with Richard Kind as Neil and Judy Haggerty as Margie Brownings, because they remind me of my mom and dad a little bit.
So Richard Kind was always really good in this Michael J. Fox show called Spin City.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie Haggerty is an amazing character actress. Whoever thought to put the two of them together,
yeah,
brilliant.
Yes.
Like, I want to see them as more parent things,
yeah,
or like running a school together or something. Like, there's comedy gold between the two of them.
Yeah. And you've worked at a bank before. Did you ever get a bank heist where with an armed robbery in West Virginia, or doesn't that not work because everyone's related?
It's so funny. We actually got sent out of town once by the FBI because Dad's bank was being targeted by the Russian mafia. And so they sent us on vacation because there was a whole thing where what they would do is kidnap the bank president's family, hold them for ransom, and make the bank president get the money out of the vault.
Well, I'm glad that nut didn't come to happen. How would you react, though, if you...
Oh. I have more.
Okay. I was trying to cut it off because I know one part of how the story ends.
No, we're...
Like.
Okay. But one of our branches was robbed, and the branch manager was locked in the vault.
For how long?
I think only an hour, but there's air vents and things in there. You won't die from suffocation. Yeah. All the bank vaults are made safely these days.
Yeah.
But like, it's a tiny town and it was robbed. Like,
yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, how would you react if, like, I know that I would be the one on the floor. I would follow the commands. I would not question it. I would just let myself be robbed.
You first day of training, the person that trained me was like, it's money, it's insured. Don't be a hero, give them what they want, and don't do anything else.
Yeah. Well, then I would do just fine in a heist under the right horrendous circumstances like Adam found himself in. Could you ever see yourself robbing a bank?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but I would say that this was a perfect combination of action and comedy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, with Adam Devine, it's going to be a comedy. And yeah. Richard Kind and Julie Haggerty. Then to find out that, I mean, Ellen Barkin, I've seen her in a lot of things. She's extremely talented. She was great in Ocean's 13.
And Pierce has done an action movie or two, right?
I mean, he may or may not have been James Bond at one point. And he also was in the two Mamma Mia movies.
Yes. So I would say that this is a watch. Check it out. It's free on Netflix.
Yeah, absolutely watch it. It was funny. And I would say it's probably one of those things, if we're ever like having a lazy rainy day or something and all of a sudden it pops up on CW, I'm not going to change the channel.
Yeah, true. Now, also on Netflix, we recently watched the most recent season of The Witcher, which I'll get us started until I get to Russian names that you can read.
Okay.
So it is based off of the video game series of the same name that we both know and love. We play through it on our Switches.
Yes.
And The Witcher was created by
Lauren Schmidt-Hissrich, who previously wrote for The West Wing, Private Practice, and Daredevil the series, as well as The Umbrella Academy, stars Henry Cavill as Geralt of Rivia, a magically enhanced monster hunter known as a Witcher, Anya Charlotra as Yennefer of Vengeberg, a quarter-elf sorceress, and their now basically adopted daughter, Ciri, the crown princess of Sintra, with a mysterious destiny surrounding her elder blood.
Yes, and the first two seasons were really about their journeys as individuals and to get together. So yep. I was very interested to see how season three would handle going forward from there. I personally loved the beginning when we got to see them play house for that, like, first 10, 15 minutes of the episode, because it really did change their entire dynamic for the rest of the season of these three characters all of a sudden to have this, like, loving tenderness towards one another.
Yeah, and as I had told you, like, in the game, I was torn between
Triss and Yennefer.
Geralt being with Triss or Yennefer, but in the show, there's not even a choice.
No.
I mean, the chemistry that Henry Cavill and Anya have is truly amazing. And it's just impressive. And Siri has grown on me because I don't care for her in the game at all.
No. She puts you through a lot of extra work, and it's not fun to play as her because you don't have all your magic powers.
No, and in the first two seasons of this show, I was like, I don't think you're worth it.
I liked it once I saw in season two when she was getting the fuck beaten out of her on that obstacle course in Cairn Morhen.
Yes.
Like, that's when I was like, okay, she's got something. She's not just like a little whiny and privileged protagonist.
Yeah, but this season she was so much better.
She was very good. And we finally had some gayness with our favorite bard and Prince Radovid. What'd you think of their little romance?
I loved it. They had amazing on-screen chemistry. You could see it right away. And I just really, really enjoyed that so much.
Yes. And the first half of the season, which came out first because this was one of the Netflix split in half ones, ended with the Witch's Ball, which we've been promised would change the face of Rivia forever.
Yeah.
Or whatever country they're in. Like, what was that ball like for you watching it?
It was a more drawn out red wedding.
Yes.
Is how I felt that it went. But not red wedding in the sense that there was nothing that the other side could do. Just that level of shock, death, blood, like game changing things.
Yes.
And that's exactly what this was. And it was incredibly well done. For a television show, the special effects were phenomenal.
Oh, cinematic quality, for yes. sure. Yeah, and yeah, I would say that it definitely delivered on its promises of changing everything. And if you were watching an episode where a third of the way through you're wondering whether it rewound or skip back, it's not. It's just how they're telling the story, and it's worth it, so stick in.
Yeah, just so you are watching it, for one episode, they're telling it from a certain person's perspective. And then they go back and show you how it all came to be. So you're not on drugs. You didn't fall asleep. It didn't rewind.
I didn't relapse without knowing it.
Exactly. Okay. It really is just showing you from different angles because so much went into where it all got to that it's interesting to see all the moving pieces. And this was the best way to do it instead of drawing it all out was to show us this is how it looked from this way. This is how it looked from this way, and this is how it looked from that person.
Yeah, and the second half of the season was equally as impressive. It felt like it sped through after the red wedding. It's not officially that, but
the witch's ball.
After the witch's ball, it definitely was a nice kind of coda to that, more so than an entirely new story.
Yeah,
but I also am interested to see what's ahead because we know that Geralt has been recast as Liam Hemsworth. So without getting into specifics, like I was planning on the something happening at the end of the season that would disfigure his face tragically.
I've seen pictures. It's real close.
It's real close.
So yeah. Other than probably a little bit of voice and that Henry Cavill's a little bulkier. Yeah. I think it's going to be fine.
Okay.
Liam Hemsworth is a good actor. I mean, he's one of the Hemsworth triplets.
Yes. Quadruplets.
Quadruplets. I always forget about the fourth one.
Yeah, there's the fourth one from The Good Place.
Yes. No. And so I'm excited to see where that all goes. I do feel bad for Henry because I think he got screwed over by DC because rumor had it that he left this show and they made the decision because they were like, oh, you can't be Superman and Geralt of Rivia. And and now he's neither.
Oh, no. And he was such a good nerd with it, too.
Yeah.
Well, here's looking forward to next season. But if you've enjoyed The Witcher so far or like science fiction, fantasy, fun, not science fiction, but fantasy, high fantasy fun, check it out.
It's a good time.
Yes.
And last is Bad Things.
Yes. Was Bad Things bad? We'll find out.
It was not.
Yes. It's a Shudder original. Bad Things follows a group of friends who go to a hotel for a weekend getaway or to prepare it for selling.
Yeah, because they own it.
Yeah, and soon discover that women do bad things there. That's the legit IMDb description. But I would say it's the lesbian Shining much better. Doesn't that kind of add up for you what to expect?
It does. It was written and directed by Stuart Thorndike, stars Gail Rankin, Hari Neff, Annabelle Dexter-Holmes, and features Molly Ringwald. So Gail Rankin's character has inherited a budget choice hotel.
Yes.
It's not a great hotel, but it's a hotel. Her girlfriend, Hari Neff, is with her, and two of their friends. There's been some situations. We hear a lot about Gail's mom and that she's supposed to be meeting them there to help with the sale because they're just going to sell the hotel. While Hari Neff's like, I think you could actually do something great with this, and is trying to get her to be a hoteless or a hotelier.
Yeah. Like, what did you think of the setup? Did it work for you for telling this story?
It did, because, you know, they get there, a storm's coming. The hotel's not open for operations, so they're the only ones in the hotel. There's the on-site manager that helps with things when no one's there. I definitely think it had great potential. I think they could have gone a little further with some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we're talking about the execution of things, because they started showing things of people that had happened.
Yeah.
The ghosts, things that had happened to them. And I wish that they had found more information on some of those things and that we got a little deeper in with that. I do like how, as it went on, everybody started seeing other things. It's kind of funny. It feels, even though it's a modern day movie, it kind of felt like it was filmed in the 80s.
Yeah. Probably also because of the budget.
Probably.
Also, yeah, I would say that if the idea of watching a lesbian version of The Shining sounds awesome to you, it's on Shudder. If you're already paying for the subscription, check it out. Don't get Shudder to experience the lesbian Shining.
There are other great things on Shudder.
On Shudder, like Dracula.
Yes.
But also, like, I mean, it felt like it was like 30% horror, like ghost horror, and 30% psychological horror. And I couldn't really figure out where the missing 40% was.
Exactly. It was like that they didn't go far enough with either, and it should have been a 50-50.
Yeah.
And it left it with...
It felt like a piece was missing.
And you keep watching it and you're like, I wish they had done this, or I wish they had done that. And I'm not saying it's a bad movie, because it's not. It's well acted. It has a great concept. I would have changed, you know, a few slight things, like a part right around the ending, I would have changed.
Yeah, I mean, it was better than Killer Unicorn.
I have not watched many things that are worse than Killer Unicorn.
There we go, then. So we'd love to hear what you thought of the three movies that we discussed today, or the two movies and one show we discussed today. And if for some reason you've put yourself through Killer Unicorn already and want to lament, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at happylifepod@gmail.com.
And you can get in touch with us on all the socials, especially if there's something that you've watched that you're like, oh, you guys need to watch this. Let us know.
We're always looking for things to watch.
Yeah. Talk to us on the socials. It is Happy Life Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And until next time, everybody,
stay happy.
You're still here, which is great, because there's something we probably forgot to mention this episode.
That is correct. Each episode, as we're discussing movies, music, and games, there's a good chance we've used a small clip or two from the original source material.
Yes, and those clips are not ours. We do not own the rights to any of the music or clips. They were used to help solicit a discussion to appreciate the original source material.
And with that, if you are still listening, you likely really appreciate our material as well.
I mean, how could you not? And if you've enjoyed this episode, then you should also ask yourself, when's the last time I told a friend to check out A Lifetime of Happiness?
If your answer was not today, well, it should be.
Yes, so go tell your best squirrel friend about our podcast today, and don't forget to subscribe or follow us wherever you're listening to get new episodes each Wednesday.
Stay happy.